Hello from Solid Rock Worship Center. I'm Pastor Jim Bradford. At Solid Rock, it is our desire to see people's lives built upon the truths of God's Word. Jesus is alive, doing miracles, and changing lives. For more info, check out our website at www.srworship.org. And I hope you're challenged by today's message.
From Jacked Up to Jesus, the church's journey towards spiritual maturity. Remember, we've been talking about the Apostle Paul, who God saved. He was a terrorist. He went around trying to kill Christians. Jesus showed up in his life, knocked them down, just about literally kicked his behind and told him to stop persecuting the church. Paul gets wonderfully saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, goes forward and begins preaching the gospel and starting churches. And here we get to see a letter that he wrote to one of those churches that he started. Acts 18 has that whole story of the start of the church of Corinth. You can read that later on. But today we're going to look at chapter 2 of this letter written to the church of Corinth. Chapter 2. If you want to turn there, we're going to get ready to get started here. Have you ever played that game when you were in school where you would line up and somebody would whisper in one person's ear and they would have to turn and whisper it in somebody else's ear? Right? And what's the end result? It's never the same, right? It's never the same. Well, today we're going to talk about Spirit-led preaching. And here, Spirit-led preaching should be this, that God speaks to the preacher, and the preacher should faithfully give forth what God gave them, right? Just should, as best as you can. Quick question, does anybody ever faithfully give forth exactly 100% what God has said to a pastor? Outside of Jesus, I would say no, because we're all human. It's the same thing as we would say in church if God speaks to a prophecy or a tongues and interpretation. It's not going to be 100% God all the time. It's just not. We wished it would be, but we're sinful people. It's just not going to be that way. Our goal is that it would be 99.9999% God, like ivory soap is pure. Right? Sometimes there's more of us than we would like, and that's why we have the Bible. God calls us to test the spirits, right? God calls us to, and really me in a church setting here, to be the judge of whether or not it was God that spoke. To be like, gee, I signed up for that one, you know? And God will judge me. You got it wrong! Sorry, Lord, you know? We talked the other week at how I get judged for all you guys. Judgment Day is going to be fun for me. The outside of that will be nice, but being judged for everybody that, you know, all you guys are nice, though. I don't mind being judged for all you, but it's the other people that aren't here. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Some of you are bad, too. Just kidding. But listen, the whole goal is to speak the words of God as God gives them, okay? And we're going to talk about Spirit-led preaching. And what is Spirit-led preaching? Paul has a whole chapter in 1 Corinthians 2 that deals with this. And it may surprise you what he says. All of us, we may have an idea. Who has an idea of what Spirit-led preaching is? Can I see your hand? Maybe you could think of somebody. I'm not going to call on you. But have you ever been in church and someone was preaching and maybe you said, wow, that was Spirit-led, or wow, that was anointed, right? Am I still speaking English? Okay, right? So we would say, yeah, that was anointed. And you have maybe a stereotype in your mind of what Spirit-led preaching is, right? Anybody? You just kind of got an idea, like if you were there, you would say that was or that wasn't. Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to read through this whole chapter. There's not that many verses, actually. It's only 16 verses, but I want you to have the Bible in front of you, pay attention to it, and then we're going to deal with what Paul says. Does anybody need a Bible today? You don't have one? We have new Bibles on order. They will be here next Sunday, so we'll have plenty if anybody needs one. I also want to encourage you to bring your own Bible from home. It's a good thing to, good job. It's a good thing to underline and highlight. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. Paul says, "When I came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness and timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would not trust in human wisdom built. I did this so you would trust, not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Yet when I am among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, His plan that was previously hidden, even though He made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the Scriptures mean when they say, 'No eyes have seen, nor ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him.'" Verse 10. "But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secret. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so that we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts, and who knows enough to teach Him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ." Lord, bless the reading and the preaching of Your Word today. In Christ's name, amen. Here today, first we're going to look at what Spirit-led preaching is not. Donna, can you maybe shut this first blind? I think... we'll see. We'll see if that's the one that's causing the glare. And it's not. Can somebody try? Good job, Ann. It's the car windows that reflect the sun. What Spirit-led preaching is not, okay? In verse 1, he says this, lofty and impressive words, okay? So big, lofty words that impress you, he says, that's not what Spirit-led preaching is. Also, he says, loud and exciting delivery. That's not what Spirit-led preaching is, right? What else? Aggressive style. That's not what Spirit-led preaching is. Wait a second. How many for us, this just messed up your whole stereotype of what Spirit-led preaching is, right? It just messed it up, and we're just starting here. Paul says it's not lofty and impressive words. And to that I say thank the Lord because I don't have any. Right? It's not loud and exciting delivery. Sometimes we think to be Spirit-led preaching, you have to shout and you have to scream. Paul said, my messages were very plain, didn't he? He says, I came to you in weakness, timid, and trembling. What else is Spirit-led preaching not? Cleverness. Verse 4, the second part of that. It's not just being clever, right? It's not having the wittiest things to say. It's also not just persuasiveness, okay? Who can be persuasive? How about Billy Mays? Remember him? He's gone now, but the telemarketer guy, right? Or whatever, the infomercial guy. You ever watch infomercials and you're just persuaded full on you need this thing? Man, I have. There's this one radiant heater that Bob Vila sells. Anybody see it on TV late at night? That thing looks awesome. I need that heater. Why? I don't know, but it looks good. They have a magic bullet express thing now they have on TV. Anybody see that? They chop a whole head of lettuce, throw the whole head of lettuce in there and whole tomatoes, and it shoots out a salad. It's beautiful. I'm like, I need that. And it's only like six payments of $19.99. It's cheap. I need it. Let's see, what else? There's this new little tool that cuts stuff with these funky little angled triangle tips. Anybody see that? That thing looks awesome. Did you ever see it, Mike? You would buy one in a second, man. Yeah, you just change it. That tool looks awesome. They're cutting through a bathtub and stuff. And like, in case I ever need to cut through a bathtub, I would be ready. That's persuasiveness. We would not say that they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They're just persuasive. You can be persuasive and not be Spirit-led. The next one, emanating from human wisdom. Is there wisdom in the world outside of God? Yes, I would say it's all inferior to God, but there is wisdom outside of God. Spirit-led preaching does not come from human wisdom, okay? So it's not loud and lofty words, impressive words. It's not exciting delivery, okay? It's not those things. It's not being aggressive and clever, persuasive. It's not those things. Anybody like preachers who are that way? You know, sometimes, you know, I do sometimes, but that's not what Spirit-led preaching is. It's not those things. Just because a pastor jumps doesn't mean he's being Spirit-led. What's the problem with this kind of preaching? Well, he deals with that in this passage too. In verse 5, he says the problem with this kind of preaching is that it's not empowered by the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's not empowered by the Holy Spirit. He also, in verse 5, says it promotes trust in humanity rather than divinity. In verse 5, it produces trust in humans, right? What else does he say? It's rooted in emotion. You ever go to a church where it was all emotion, or maybe flipping through the channels, there's a TV pastor, it's all emotion, okay? Where it's just pulling you in? There's nothing wrong with emotion. And as we're going to see, there's nothing wrong specifically with the list of things that I said that aren't Spirit-led preaching, but that's not the definition of Spirit-led preaching. That would be like if I put on a big ceramic round thing and put holes through it and stuck my arms and legs out, popped my head out, I wouldn't be a turtle. I would just be a man in a goofy ceramic box, right? I wouldn't become a turtle. I would just be this goofball wearing some weird getup. In the same way, you know, Spirit-led preaching is different than those people who are just loud and, you know, exciting and clever. And when you just come out loud, exciting, and clever, it's not empowered by the Holy Spirit. It produces trust in humanity. That's a big one. That's when we all get said and done. The whole point of the message is you can be a better person. Pull up your bootstraps, right? Stop sinning and pull up your bootstraps, or give more, or, you know, whatever. And it produces more faith in yourself than it does God. That's not good. It's rooted in emotion. Moving on, hearers do not mature in their faith. This is a big one. You don't grow in the Lord. I do know people who listen to a lot of TV pastors that go to all these conventions, and they are spiritual babies. They are not mature on any level. And I'm not going to put their pictures up to, and not to make fun of them or something, but it's just true. Anybody else, you know people who, you know, they follow the conventions, when it's all said and done, They don't have the faith that they should have. They don't have the depth of understanding that they should have. They're not mature. Now, is that always the preacher's fault? No, not necessarily. They need to be growing in the Lord on their own as well. But nonetheless, Paul says, and these are things that Paul says, preaching that's not Spirit-led does not mature believers in their faith. The verse references are there. We've read the whole chapter. You can go back and write them down and look at them later. He says, this wisdom belongs to this world, and it will not last. Wow, that's a big one. Second part of verse 6. This wisdom belongs to this world, and it will not last. This is like getting the latest book or the latest fad. You know, this is the newest thing. This is what we're doing from now on in church. And then it just goes away, right? And it wasn't that good to begin with because it was based on human wisdom and emotion, and it wasn't based upon God. Preaching that's not Spirit-led can do that. Moving on. It can make its listeners more like, wow, what? More like those who killed Jesus instead of Jesus himself, Paul says in verse 8. And I put in parentheses, prideful and religious. Is religion bad? Religious people killed Jesus, right? They were the card-carrying members of the church who killed Jesus. Now, I know ultimately Jesus allowed himself to be arrested to die for my sin and your sin, but they still nonetheless were the ones that killed Jesus. Also, what? They were prideful. Nasty. Prideful. People in church ever prideful? Right? Do you know anybody who's prideful? You've ever met in church throughout the years? Can be very prideful. Even some, as we dealt with when we looked at the book of Jude, can be prideful over the devil, right? I don't really go the way of dancing on the head of the devil. I don't really do that. Because in the book of Jude, it tells us, even Michael the archangel, he said the Lord rebuke you when dealing with Satan, fighting over the body of Moses. That I say, you know what? We're going to come to Jesus. And we say, Jesus, you crush Satan, right? And we don't come to fight against Satan on our own with pride. We come through Jesus and say, Jesus, you take care of it. Why should I have pride? I'm a sinner saved by grace. The thing I should boast in is in the Lord, right? I'm pretty sure that was the end of last week's chapter. Let us boast in the Lord, not in ourselves. We shouldn't do that. Anybody see anybody prideful in church, right? It can happen. We end up being more like those who killed our Savior than our Savior themselves. Moving on. What Spirit-led preaching can be, it says. What Spirit-led preaching can be, okay? What it can be. He says, verse 3, first part of that, we can have a weak and timid delivery. Okay, so the speaker, the Spirit-led preacher can be quiet and weak. Okay? He could come up and, you know, I probably have ADD before they diagnosed it, so I can't stand still. But sometimes preachers stand still. And sometimes they can be weak, timid, and quiet. And they could even perhaps be something like this. Today, the Lord has a special word for us. And Paul, right. Olga says she's going to fall asleep if that happens. But listen, Paul says that can be Spirit-led. And if you ignore it, you're missing out on what God wants to do in your life. Because we have the stereotype. We want you to say, good morning, hallelujah, which I do that sometimes. But if it's not that, if it's this, Jesus is so good. And if you don't accept that, you're going to miss out on what God wants to do in your life. What else does he say? It can come from a nervous speaker. Look at verse 3 here. I came to you in weakness, timid, and trembling. Paul wrote the Bible, toughest dude outside of Jesus. Said, when I came, I was nervous. He might have been like, today, Jesus has something special for us, brothers and sisters. Olga would already be sleeping. at that point. You can miss out on what God wants to do in your life. Moving on. Very plain, he said, verse 4. Very plain. This means there's hope for me. Thank you, Jesus. I love this chapter. But very plain, not extravagant, not flashy. I was just thinking that. You don't need an ice cream suit. No? Gold rings. You don't. Paul says, very plain. Now, I would say Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. I would say that he was Spirit-led. Anybody else? Okay. So if Paul didn't do the flashy, religious, big, lofty words thing, then that's not the definition of Spirit-led. Very plain. And here's the last part in this section. It can, though, utilize the big words, cleverness, excited delivery. All those things we said with Spirit-led preaching is not. It can have those things, but it's not Spirit-led because it's loud. Do you get that? It's not anointed because the preacher yells. The preacher just yells because he's got problems not, I guess. I don't know. I yell. I don't know why, but that doesn't make it anointed. Okay? Could it be anointed? Yes, but that doesn't make it anointed. It can also be weak. We just talked about all this. Weak, nervous, could be timid. Don't miss out on preaching. If, say, we have a missionary come through or somebody comes through and that might be the most powerful message that could change your life. Don't be the one that just wants to follow the guy who's good in our eyes. That's clever. That's witty. That makes us laugh. Because you might never mature in your faith. You need to be open and say, God, I want to receive from you, even if I find it boring. I want to receive from you, right? Sometimes we want to be more entertained than we want to grow in Jesus. You ever have a good book that you had in the Lord and you should read it, you know, maybe something I handed out on baptism of the Holy Spirit or whatever, and you can start reading it and it's kind of boring? Don't you think that could be a trick of the devil? Is to have you get bored? How many have ever been bored reading the Bible? Can I see your hands? Yeah, I'll raise my hand. Sometimes the most religious people will say, you can't say you were bored reading the Bible. How dare you? That's a sin. There are probably people that don't read the Bible. Don't tell me that every passage is the most exciting thing ever. It's not true. But listen, it's life. And it's also called this, discipline. And there's some books in the Bible you won't find as fun. But they will produce holiness in you. And it will produce life where there was death. And it will produce a love for the Lord and deeper understanding. And it's good and you need it. And without it, you will die. But just because there's not like little jokes and colorful pictures, we don't get entertained. Right? God is calling somebody today. Listen. Don't. Of course, I love the Bible, but it's just true. If you get into it, there's some passages you love. There's some books I love, man. I love the action books. I love to see stuff happen. I love the letters of Paul. I love the letters in the New Testament like Corinthians. But also, we need to read the Gospels, don't we? We also need to read Leviticus, don't we? We need to read Proverbs, don't we? You need to grow because the Word of God wants to change you. It's not about being entertained, whether we get into the Bible or other books, of course, the Bible primarily. But it's not about being entertained when it comes to pastors and preaching. It should be about something else. And here's our final thoughts today. What Spirit-led preaching is. What Spirit-led preaching is. Well, what is it? What is Paul saying? Paul has two definitions right up front. Verse 2 says it's centered only on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Spirit-led preaching has to be Christ-centered, right? Has to be. Ever go to a church and the pastor never mentions Jesus? Never mentions the cross? It happens around our nation, in our area perhaps. There's churches that get together that don't even talk about Jesus. That don't even talk about the death and resurrection. How absurd. Okay, right off the bat, Spirit-led preaching, that's a huge part of it. And guess what? If you don't mention Jesus, you don't mention the cross, you're not Spirit-led. Because it's all through the cross, isn't it? It's all through the cross. If it's not for the cross, you will never be changed, ever. If it's not for the cross, I will never be changed, ever. If it wasn't for the cross, listen, I wouldn't even be here today. I'm telling you, I'm not that good of a person. If it wasn't for the cross of Jesus, I would not be here today. I would be a terrible husband if it wasn't for the cross. I would be an idiotic, absent father if it wasn't for the cross. I would not be a good guy if it wasn't for Jesus. It's all the cross. If we don't preach the cross, no one will ever be changed, you included, right? Your family members never be changed. It's all about Jesus. It always has been. It always will be. Always will be. And those churches that don't mention the cross, I just pray either they will repent and find Jesus, or they close their doors and stop making the rest of us look bad. Amen? Just stop calling yourselves Christians if you don't mention Christ. Just stop. Just stop. Because the rest of us want to preserve that name to mean something. Amen? Amen. It has to be Christ-centered. Has to. The other part of this definition is it has to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Must be empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's not about being clever. It's not about being loud. It's not about me trying to get a technique to persuade you. Has to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. How does that happen? Pastors need to seek God, don't they? I can't do this thing as like a business deal. I have to love Jesus. If I don't love Jesus, it's not going to go real well. If I don't love Jesus, it's not going to go. If I don't receive from God's Word for myself, I'm not going to be able to feed you the Word of God. I wish I could say this wasn't a problem in churches today. I wish I could say that all pastors love Jesus and seek God. It's just not the case. It's just not the case. When Jesus returns, if you're still here, there'll be plenty of pastors to answer your theological questions, unfortunately. Right? Because they don't really know Him. Because they don't really care. Maybe they used to and they lost their first love. I don't know. What's my point here? Is my point to say, look at me, woohoo, I'm a great person who loves Jesus? No. My point is this. I need to make sure that I continue to seek Jesus throughout the busyness of life. Okay? I need to make sure that I'm spending time with God, that I'm laying before Him in His Word, and I'm receiving from Him, and I'm thinking about Him, and I'm meditating on His Word, spending time in prayer. Fasting is a good thing to press into God as well. It's been a little while. It's weird with my work schedule, but I used to like to fast. My goal would be a day a week, I think, would be an awesome thing to do, just to be honest with you, because I want to hear from God. I do. I want to hear from God. Not that I do, but I mean, I want to hear from God even more than I do now. That's me. That's on my end. I need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And when I come up to preach, I know that I am. I don't know if that means anything to you, per se, because every pastor would say, I know that I am. But to me, it's important that I know that God is using me. Because I am not a person who would do this. I'm an introverted, shy person. I can't even believe I'm standing here now preaching. It's absurd that everybody's looking at me and I'm saying stuff. It's a weird deal for me. But God's called me, and I will preach the Word of God as faithfully as I can. But I want to stay empowered by the Holy Spirit. Flip it over. What does this mean for you? We're all preachers, aren't we? You might not stand up front and do this, but you preach in your own life. You preach. People look at your lives, and they're going to figure out whether or not Jesus really rose from the dead by how you live, by how you forgive others, by what you do. Are you preaching a message that's Christ-centered? Or do you always offer people books that Oprah Winfrey recommends? That's not Christ-centered. Christ-centered would be Jesus can change your marriage. If your friend calls you and says, my husband's a dirty dog, you need to say, you know what? I was a dirty dog too, and Jesus changed me, and he can change your marriage. Right? Right? Amen? Amen. Christ-centered, not you should go get a divorce because he is a dirty dog. That's not Christ-centered. Christ-centered says, I will pray with you. I will take you. Come with me. What else? Empowered by the Holy Spirit. You need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You might not do this, but you need to spend time with Jesus. You need to know him. You need to pray. You need to have him alive and at work in your life. Anybody here, you've ever felt the presence of God in your life and you knew, like, maybe you got up in the morning and you went out to tackle a day and you're like, this is the day that the Lord has made, right? And you're like excited and you know God is going with me today and whatever problems will step up, we're going to punch them in the mouth and move on for the glory of God. Anybody ever have a day like that, right? And then you have some days where, hey, you have some days not so much, right? Some days you feel defeated because, like, you went to shut off the alarm clock and that wasn't even listening to you, right? Some days you get up in the morning, you go to make coffee, you're all out of coffee. How in the world can we be all out of coffee, right? Or you turn on the light and the electric's out. What in the world? Anybody ever have those days? Go to put on your underwear, there's no underwear. How in the world is there no underwear? Anybody? Your socks don't match. I remember one day, I got a new pair of boots and I went to work and I didn't realize it till I got there because I put them on in the dark. I had one new boot, one old boot. Anybody else? Right? You're not always going to feel like the greatest day in the world is happening, but listen, you need to ask God to help you and empower you through the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when He fills you with the Spirit, things go well. Sometimes they don't go so well. And we still need to be empowered with the Holy Spirit that when we have these barriers in our life, we can get through them. Anybody else? You need to. How do you get through them? Spend time with God, right? Pray. Read your Bible. Spend time fasting, which is skipping a meal. And take that time, not just skipping the meal, because that's just like an eating problem or something. Not just skipping meals. But you would take the time that you would normally spend preparing or picking up or eating that meal and spend that time in prayer to God and say, God, right now we're going to abstain from physical food to receive spiritual food. And you press into God just because we want to know Him more and love Him more and live for Him more. And when we do that, He shows up. And all your preaching is different. Then when you're dealing with somebody who, if we're just honest, they deserve a punch in the mouth. And you can just say, Lord, they deserve a punch in the mouth. We both know it. But I'm going to show them the love from you, even though they don't deserve it, because Jesus shows us love and we don't deserve it. And maybe the person who really deserves a whooping, you buy them a cup of coffee. And you kill them with kindness. And you freak them out. You'll have something to smile about the rest of the day, right? watching their reaction. You know what? Sometimes we need to do that as Christians. And the Holy Spirit will empower you to forgive and empower you to do things, right? And guess what else He'll do? He'll talk to you throughout your day too. And begin to tell you things that you need to do. Amen? Isn't that good? All of a sudden we'll be aware of what God is speaking to us. Here are some attributes of Spirit-led preaching. Okay? The first one is that Spirit-led preaching reveals God's thoughts and God's ways. Spirit-led preaching reveals God, His thoughts, and His ways. When the pastor is preaching and it's a Spirit-led message, you should leave with a bigger picture of God. You should understand more His thoughts and His ways. You shouldn't just be sitting back and not receiving from God. That's good to know. I want to know God. Amen? Moving on, he says it is eternal. Wow. It is eternal. Why? Because the Word of God is eternal. God is eternal. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all eternal. That when it's Spirit-led preaching, it'll last forever. That you'll have seeds in your heart of truth that will last forever. Even if you don't remember cognitively, it was there. And it will help you. And also, truth is timeless. You should be able to even listen to the message again a year later and receive truth from that. Which is why on our website, if you haven't checked it out, we have a tremendous archive of messages that I've preached and others who have preached from our church. We must have, I'm guessing, 150 messages or something like that on our website. It's absurd to think that we preach that many times. But on there, there's messages about fear, about finances. If you're somebody who's struggling with fear, I'd want to encourage you to check that out. The Word of God is eternal and timeless, and God will change your life. The last attribute here today, second to last, is searching and convicting, he says in verse 10. Spirit-led preaching searches and convicts you. I want to read two verses from Hebrews. Hebrews 4, 12 through 13 says this, "The Word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." The Word of God is like a sword that gets right in your heart, fits right in there, and it says it exposes your thoughts and desires. Verse 13 says, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before His eyes, and He is the one to whom we are accountable." Spirit-led preaching should expose your heart. It should convict. It should be searching. As many pastors have said, it should comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Right? It should comfort the afflicted and it should afflict the comfortable. If you're hurting today, I hope the Word of God comforts you and encourages you. If you're comfortable today, I hope it's a kick in the seat of the pants towards the things of God. Because that's what it should be. It should draw us. It should point us. It should change us. Nobody should leave here the same as when you come in. Amen? We shouldn't leave here the same, myself included. We should be changed. We should grow. It should propel us towards godliness. And if there's stuff in our lives we need to take care of, it should be maybe the fire under our seat to get us to take care of them. To say, we will do this, we will make this change for the glory of God. The last one, it's incomprehensible to those without the Spirit of God. Paul says that repeatedly, verse 8 through 9, verse 14, verse 16. Spirit-led preaching is incomprehensible to those without the Spirit of God. What does this mean? Well, for those of you who have family members who aren't Christians, this may mean you need to stop harping on them so much because you could be driving them away. Paul says that those that don't have the Spirit of God, it's all foolishness. They can't understand it. Jesus tells us to not cast our pearls before swine. Sometimes there's people who you can only share so much because they're not ready to receive it. And all they hear you doing is talking like Charlie Brown hearing the grown-ups. Remember that? Wah, 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 wah. Paul says they're not going to get it. Okay? They're not going to get it. Should you share Jesus? Yes, but there comes a point, and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, where all you're doing is harping and harping and harping, and your children are saying, you know what, I'm done with that. And you're like, can't you see? Isn't it awesome? There was somebody I was speaking with the other day who couldn't believe in the miraculous. Just completely rejected the miraculous. Rejected God healing and everything. I said, well, God's healed people of cancer in our church. Yeah, I don't believe it. I don't care if you believe it. You can come to church and meet them and ask them. They'll tell you. I don't believe it's not possible. And I could find myself saying, dude, there's medical records. You can check them. No, I just can't believe it, and that's that. Well, I could have continued getting loud with the person. We could have started fist fighting over the doctrine of healing. But guess what? They weren't going to get it. Because they're spiritually blind. When Paul got saved in the book of Acts, it says that scales came from his eyes when he was saved, and he was able to see. This is what we need to do. We need to not push it and push it. Like, we can say God believes, I believe in healing, and we've seen it, and that's good, but we shouldn't push it and push it and push it and push it, because they're not going to get it, because they're blinded, and we know we need to just say, God, I pray that you would remove the blinders from their eyes and continue to live the life before them, but don't push it to a point where you're just getting in arguments. They're not getting it. They're not going to get it. And guess what? You're not God, and you can't make them get it, right? You're not the Holy Spirit. Stop pretending you are and pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. You stink at it. Only the Holy Spirit can be the Holy Spirit. And pray, God, you convict. Pray, God, open their eyes. Jesus said in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw them to me, and I will raise them up at the last day. Jesus said, nobody can come unless the Father draws them. We need to pray, God, draw them. We also, this is where, too, being filled with the Holy Spirit helps. We need to be sensitive to God when God's working on their heart and the door opens. Right? When the door opens, we need to be sensitive. If they've watched us live a life of hypocrisy, they're not going to let us go through that open door. But if we've been living for God, and God works in their heart, sometimes the open door can be a tragedy, right? Sometimes it can be fear. Sometimes it can be, my mom just got diagnosed with cancer, the person would say. Maybe that would be the open door. And maybe God would use you to say something like, you know, I understand that you struggle with spiritual things, but I do know God is good, and if it would be okay with you, I would just like to keep her in my prayers. And maybe that would be the open door, right? In love, maybe, I don't know, but the Holy Spirit will give you the words. But we need to not beat people with a baseball bat spiritually. We need to not beat them with the Bible. We need to share the Bible. But when they're blinded and it's just obvious, we need to be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit and not prideful, like, I don't know why you can't get this, trying to say I'm not a good Bible teacher. They're blinded. They're not going to get it. All they hear is wah, 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 wah. And we need to say, okay. And still love them, right? Love them. Live the life before them. But pray deeply. Like, don't, that might be weird if you just grabbed them and said, Jesus, open their eyes, they're blind. Oh, I can see, I'm fine, stop. That might be weird, right? But pray on your own. Pray. Say, God, my friend, my family member, my spouse, whatever the case may be, they're blind. Say, God, I know they're not coming to you unless you open their eyes. So I pray that you open their eyes and help me live the way I should. And when that door is open, when you open their eyes enough to see a little bit, I pray that I will take advantage of that. And I will share your love. Amen. And we'll see the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So today, as we close here, we dealt with preaching, and for some of you, you might have thought, why do I need a message on preaching? Well, it's in the Bible, so we're going to deal with it. And the other part of that is you preach every day. When we finish praying, you're going to preach when we're fighting over that last cookie in the back. You're preaching. Right? Well, here's another one. When we take the offering in a minute, you're preaching to everyone around you. Do we love God enough to be faithful to Him? Or do we shaft God? We're preaching, aren't we? We are preaching. When you go to the store, you're preaching. When your kid comes back from children's church, whether or not you scoop them up and give them a hug, you're preaching, right? What you do for lunch today, you're preaching. This week, whether or not you do the devotions or if you want, throw that away, do something for the Lord with your family. Whether Jesus is number one in your life or not, you're preaching. And I pray that your messages will not be self-centered, but they would be Christ-centered. And I pray that your messages would not be empowered by Budweiser, or empowered by pride, or empowered by lust, or empowered by desire for more earthly things. I pray that the messages you preach are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And through that, God will open up eyes and we'll see people get saved. Amen? Amen. We're going to get ready to take the offering. Somebody, you guys ready for that? Hallelujah. Just hold up one second on the offering. Let's just bow our heads and pray. And I'm going to ask you to do one thing before we go. This is this. If you don't know Jesus, looking around, I think we're all church people here. You all know the deal. Call out to God. Ask Him to forgive you and cleanse you. You know how to do it. Call out to Him. He will save you. He will heal you. He will forgive you right now. If you're here today, and in the past, pastors that have spoken, they haven't caught your ear because it might have been boring on a natural level, I pray that you would always be sensitive to what God wants to say to you, and I pray that you would receive. We don't strive to be entertained. We strive to grow in God. There's a difference. I pray that the books of the Bible that you don't get into because you find them a little bit boring on the earthly side of things, I just pray that you allow God to draw you to Himself and you will begin to experience God. That you won't say, God, in order for me to grow in you, I have to be entertained. We would say, God, even if it's a hard road, we know the cross wasn't easy. We know the Christian life isn't easy, and we will travel the hard road if it means growth in you. If that's you today, I want to encourage you, take the hard road for Jesus. Take the hard road. Do the hard thing if God is calling you to do it. Do the hard thing if it will help you grow, and you will see growth. The only things worth living for are the things worth dying for. Lastly, I'm going to ask this application here. I'm going to say, if you're here today, I want to pray with you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, pray that I'll be a better preacher. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want prayer to be a better preacher, to be Christ-centered, to be Holy Spirit-empowered. I'm just going to pray for you, but this is what I want you to do. I'm going to ask you to stand where you are and lift your hands to worship on a count of three. And I want you to do that not as a sign of whoever, don't worry about who's looking at you. I want you to stand and lift your hands to God as a way of saying, God, I'm real about this. And I want to preach for you. At Wawa, with your own family, and at dinner time this week, make me a better Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered preacher. If that's you, and I count to three, I'm going to start praying, and I want you to stand where you are. Hallelujah. One, two, three. Stand where you are. We're going to pray right now. Let's lift up our hands. Jesus, we love you today. Lord Jesus, we give you praise today for all that you've done, Lord, and all that you're going to do. Lord, today as a church, we stand and declare, God, that we want to be used by you for your glory. Lord, today we stand knowing, God, that we are preachers of the gospel wherever we go. That, God, you've called us to preach in church, Lord. You've called us to preach, God, outside these walls, at Wawa, at the gas station, at Walmart, to our own families, on the telephone, on Facebook. God, you've called us to preach. And I pray, God, that they wouldn't be messages of religion, that it wouldn't be messages of pride, it wouldn't be messages, God, of self-help. Lord, it wouldn't be messages of lust and messages of sin and condemnation or even gossip. Lord, we pray that the gossip would be gone, and we pray that the only messages we preach are Christ-centered on the cross and filled with the Holy Spirit, God, and that you would use us to reach this generation for you. We pray in the name of Christ, use us for your glory. And fill with your Spirit, God, those that haven't been filled with your Spirit, I pray this week you would fill them, Lord. Give them a hunger for you. For those who have sinned against you by just wanting to be entertained in church or just wanting to be entertained on TV or whatever, God, I pray that pride and that self-love will stop in Jesus' name. That you will shatter that desire to just be entertained and loved. But you would help us to live for you and to fight the good fight. Help us, Lord. May we always be Spirit-empowered and Christ-centered in everything we do. And we ask these things in the name of Christ Jesus. And help our loved ones, God, that don't know you. We pray. Open their eyes. Open their eyes. If you're thinking of someone today, just whisper their name to the Lord and say, Lord, so-and-so, open their eyes, God, that they would see you. Lord, we pray for our family and friends that the word is incomprehensible to them. They're not getting it, God. We know we can't make them get it. But we know, Jesus, you will draw them to yourself. So, God, we pray, open their eyes. We pray, God, open their eyes. May they see you, God. May they surrender to you and live for you. We ask all these things in Christ's mighty name. Amen. Amen. The Lord is good.